nice bright red jacket, perfect Georgia color. And I was like, man, I want that thing. So I looked and looked and looked. I went in 4 different stores, about 5 different malls looking for this jacket and could not find it. So I came home and said, Mom, I said, these belts got this bright red jacket. I said, I love it. It's Georgia color. I want you to find it for me. And so she went on there and she looked, and this was the only red jacket the belt had. I don't know what that one hanging in the store was. I don't know where it came from, but we were unable to find it. And as you know, just as well as I know, if Mama buys it, you wear it, and you smile while you do it. So I'm glad to wear my red jacket, but in no way, shape, or form am I cheering for Alabama. Just got to, they say the first thing you need to do is get the devil out of the house. So that's what we're going to clear that up and get it out of the way this morning. No, but and in all seriousness, we are blessed to be here and thankful. And if I had a thought above any other this morning, just something that I want you to take away from this message or think about, it would simply be to trade your duct tape in for some nails. And I know I heard the giggles. It's about as redneck as it gets, but it's okay. We're in Franklin County. But this is just the thought that the Lord has placed on my heart and the message that He's been dealing with me. And I know it may sound silly now, but I promise if you'll just stay with me for a little while and just be obedient to His Spirit and His Word, I promise we're going to bring it all back together this morning. So like I said, we'll be there in the second chapter of the book of Colossians. If you would stand with me this morning, just out of the respect of the reading of God's Word. There in the second chapter of the book of Colossians, like I said, we just have two short verses, starting there in the 13th verse. It says, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against you, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. And having spoiled principalities and power, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." Let's pray this morning. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, God, as we come before You this morning, Lord, just how thankful we are, Lord, for Your sweet Spirit, Lord, that we're able to fill in this place. God, how thankful we are, Lord, to be able to come this morning, God, to call upon the name of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, God, the One that created the universe. God, we're able to call upon Your name this morning, oh God, and know that not only do You hear us, God, but Lord, that You listen, oh God, and that You will answer us this morning, God. Lord, that not only, God, do You hear our cries, oh God, but You're already working, Lord, to fix our problems, God, to give mercy and to give grace, God, to look out for us, God. You're already looking, oh God, for great things, Lord, from us here this morning. So God, Lord, I just pray as we go forward in this service, God, I pray that we all empty us of ourselves, God, that we would lay our hearts down, Lord, at the foot of the cross, God, Lord, that we just might dwell for a little while at the foot of the King, God, Lord, and just lift up Your name and praise You this morning. God, we love You, we thank You, God, we look forward, Lord, to Your sweet Spirit and what it has in store for us here this morning, for it's in Thy holy and precious name we pray, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Like I said, if I had a thought above any other this morning, it would simply be to trade your duct tape in for some nails. And so to start off this morning, what I would like to do is I would like for you just to imagine yourself in one of a few different scenarios. And I know that we can all do this because we've all found ourselves in these places at one time or the other. You see, have you ever found yourself in one of those situations where you were stranded? Maybe your car broke down on the side of the road. Maybe you had a problem go wrong and you didn't have a way to get somewhere. You didn't have a way to call for help. And you just ran into this big problem. You were stranded and there was no help to find anywhere that you looked. Or have you ever been in a position, and I know this is where many of us can testify, that life is just so busy. You've got work going. You've got your family going. You may have school going. You've got activities. You've got hobbies. You've got all these things just constantly going on in your life. And time is something that's very hard to find, and all of a sudden this problem comes up in your life. And you say, well, I really don't have time to fix that right now. I really don't have time to address the problem right now, so I'm just going to patch it up and save it for later. Or maybe you find yourself, like I said, in that first situation. Maybe you're stranded somewhere and you can't find help, and you know that you don't have a way to permanently fix your solution. So you say, well, I'll just patch it up till I get on further down the road. I'll just patch it up till I get a little bit more time. I'll just do what I can to patch it up here for just a minute until I have the time to fix it. You see, these are the times that I like to call the duct tape moments. The moments when you know you need a fix and you know that you don't have the tools you need, or you don't have the parts you need, or you don't have the resources that you need to fix your problem. So you do what any good redneck does and you go digging for your duct tape and you just patch it over it. And you say, if duct tape, if you'll just get me on up the road, I promise I'll fix it later. That's what a lot of us, that's what I like to refer to as the duct tape moments. And you see, in these duct tape moments, you see most of the time these are very stressful situations. I like to think that most of us, if we have the time, if we have the resources to fix our problems the right way, that we do. But it's when we don't have the time, when we're stressed out, when life's just got too much going on, we're stuck in one spot, we know we have to get somewhere, we know that there's not an easy way to permanently fix this solution, so we settle for a patch. You see, we know that the duct tape's not going to hold forever. We know that it's not going to fix our problem forever. We know that it's not going to be the permanent solution. However, we choose to settle for the duct tape in that moment because it seems like we have no other options. Let me tell you this morning, this is exactly where the world and the devil wants to find you, is in these duct tape moments. You see, the devil, he's not just dumb. You see, he's very smart and he's very crafty, and he knows that if he tries to attack you in a time when you're strongest in your faith, when he tries to attack you when you're still living on the on cloud nine, you've just got saved, everything's going right, you're in the spirit, you know that God is walking with you, you know that everything is just going to accordance to God's plan. The devil knows that if he tries to come at you, that in these moments that you'll be quick to turn back to your faith. But you see, it's in the times when all these other things are going on, when you're stressed out, when things aren't going right, when all these problems arise, when you just can't seem to get everything back to where you want it, when you're not comfortable in your faith, when you know that you haven't been praying like you're supposed to pray, when you know that you've not been doing the things that you're supposed to do, when you know that you're not as close to God as you once were. That is where the devil will find you, and he will attack you with everything that he has because he knows that you're already weak. And I'll be the first to admit, we all know that even the strongest Christians, even those of us that have been called to preach, that it's in these times when we go stressed out, when we don't have time, when we can't just seem to get life going right, that it's in these times when even the strongest Christians find themselves slipping away from God. You see, that being a Christian doesn't mean that you'll never have problems. Being saved doesn't mean that you'll never have hard times. It doesn't mean that you'll never face hardships again. Just because you're a strong Christian does not always mean that things are going to go happy and they're going to be just the way that you want them to be. And it's in these times that the devil just tries to attack us. He tries to pull us just a little bit more. He said, well, I've already got that one problem going on in his life. Let me see if I can't give him another. He already doesn't have time to pray. Let's see if I can keep him from having time to read his Bible. He doesn't have time to read his Bible. Let's see if I can make his life just a little bit more busy where he doesn't have time to go to church. He just slowly and just pulls us away from God and gets us in a spot where he knows we're weak, where we know ourselves that we're not as close to God as we should be, because we simply just keep patching things over. Keep patching things over. And let me tell you something, this world we live in, it's quick to offer solutions. You see, there's a world full of people that are hurting. There's a world full of people that are facing problems. I believe here this morning that if I was to ask each and every one of you that had a problem in your life or that had something in your life that wasn't going right to just raise your hand, I believe every arm in here would be raised, because we can all say that at some point or time we've all had problems. We can say that we've all faced hard times. We can say that we all have problems that we need an answer to. Church, this morning, if we're in this church and we're quiet, and we're dead, I promise you the world is going to offer solutions if we don't. You see, the world is constantly offering solutions to these problems. It's constantly offering a little patch to place over this problem, if you will. You say, whether it's through alcohol, or whether it's through drugs, or whether it's through hatred, or whether it's through turning away from God, whether it's into diving into your hobbies, I'll tell you this morning, just the things that we think of as maybe the most obvious sins, alcohol and drugs, they're not the only things that the world will use to get you away from God. Do you realize he can use your hobbies just as quick as he can use alcohol or drugs? Do you realize that he can use something that you enjoy? I love to hunt and fish with the rest of them. I'll do it as much as I can. But the world, if I start placing that before God, if I start putting more time and more effort into that before I do God, it's just as simple as turning away from him because I'm in the bottom of a bottle. You see, the world, it's constantly offering people false hope. It says, well, here, just take a little sip of this. It'll make you feel better. Or here, just get a little bit of this. Or just do a little bit of that. Or just, you know what? You just hate that person for a little while. Or you know what? You quit going to church and you rest for a little while. You stay in bed. You just turn away from God for a little while. The world is constantly offering people things. It's constantly offering them just a temporary fix to their problems. You see, the Bible teaches me that there's nothing in this world that can ever fix that of the state of my salvation. There's nothing in this world that can fix my biggest problem, and that is where you will spend eternity this morning. There's nothing this world can do to fix that problem. But you see, it'll offer you a temporary patch. You see, when we're stuck on the side of that road or we find ourselves busy and just needing a quick fix, at the time, that duct tape, it seems like the greatest thing in the world. But in the back of our minds, we've got to know that it's just a temporary solution. Church, this morning, you can drown your sorrows in alcohol. You can drown your problems in drugs. You can drown yourself in hatred. You can make yourself so busy that you forget about God and try to forget about your problems. You can drown yourself in all the lust and the pleasures of this world. But I'm here to tell you this morning that everything the world has to offer is a temporary fix this morning. And that's what we've got to realize. But you know what? The world is constantly pushing for it. You say, well, Pastor, say, why do you think that we choose to use these duct tape? Well, two things, because it's quick and because it's easy. Well, just in our flesh, we're always very quick to settle for the easy way out. We're very, we always go for the quick way, the easy way, just the fastest way that we can get it done, get it taken care of, and get it out of the way, even when we know it won't last. And so we find ourselves in these duct tape moments. Let me tell you something else. It also doesn't seem like a very big deal when you first do it. You say, well, it was just a little touch of alcohol. Well, it was just a little touch of drugs. It was just a little bit of hatred towards a one person. It was just a little bit of time that I had to take away from God. It was just a little bit of time that I quit praying. It was just a little of this or a little of that. Well, if you start putting a little bit of duct tape on your car here, and a little bit of duct tape on your car there, and a little bit of duct tape on this problem, and a little bit of duct tape on that problem, let me tell you something, eventually this stuff starts to build up. And before you know it, you really can't even remember what the original problem was because all you can see is duct tape. You see, there's times in our lives when we say, well, just a little bit of alcohol here, and just a little bit of alcohol there. Just a little bit of drugs here. Just a little bit of hatred for this person. Just a little bit of hatred for that person. God, I'm going to take just a little bit of time from you here. I'm going to take just a little bit of time from you there. But you know what? It all adds up eventually. You see, a hatred for one person turns into a hatred for a group. It turns into hatred for a larger group. It turns into hatred for everyone before you know it. A little bit of alcohol here when you get home, had a hard day. It turns into a little bit of alcohol when you're hanging out with your buddies. It turns into a drunken night. It turns into a drunken week. A little bit of drugs here. A little bit of drugs there turns into an overdose here. Church, let me tell you this morning, a little bit of taking away from God here, a little bit of turning away from God there, it eventually ends up into a dead life, a sinful life, a life without God, a place where none of us want to find ourselves. And you will know the worst part about this is that I believe most of us here, we know that we've got patches in our life. We know that there's places in our lives where we did not get a permanent fix like we should have. We didn't come and pray to God like we know we should have. We know that we didn't turn to God to ask for His forgiveness and to do what we should have done, what the Bible teaches us to do. We all know that we have our patches. And then we come in here on Sunday morning and we say, well, God said, yeah, you know, I'll go take care of it on Sunday morning. I know I've got this patch. I know I've got this problem. I know I've got this thing going wrong in my life. So you know what, Sunday, I'll take it down to the altar and I'll get it taken care of. But then we get to thinking about it. And we say, well, Lord, if I go pray, they're going to know what I'm praying about. They're going to know that I have problems in my life. They're going to know that there's things wrong in my life. God, if I go up there on Sunday morning and I don't look like this perfect Christian sitting there on my perfect pew with my perfect smile on my face, they're going to think that I'm not the Christian that I'm supposed to be. Let me tell you something this morning. Most Christians aren't perfect. My Bible teaches me that none of us are perfect in comparison to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so what do? We say, well, Lord, I don't want somebody to see my patch. I don't want somebody to see that duct tape. I don't want them to see that problem. So we go out and get some of the pretty duct tape. You know what I'm talking about? Some of that sparkly stuff, you know? Or maybe you do like Abigail and you get some that matches the color of your car. That way nobody notices it. But we dress it up. I'm going to make it look good at duct tape. And I'm going to slap it on there, and I'm going to dress it up, I'm going to make it look good, and nobody will ever even know that I've got my problems. But all we do then is we pile another problem on top of another problem. We put a patch on top of a patch, and before we know it, the duct tape is so built up that we don't even know what our original problem was. You see, we come in here on Sunday mornings, and we know that we've got our problems. We know that our heart is not where it needs to be with God. We know that there's things in our lives that we need to fix. We know that there's places in our lives that we need to come to the altar and pray about and get fixed right with God. But we put on our Sunday clothes and hide our problems. You see, there's a lot of churches in Casting Crowns. There's a song about this called the Stained Glass Masquerade. In other words, everybody's wearing a mask. They come inside these stained glass windows. We come inside this church. We try to act like something that we're not. We try to act like we're perfect Christians with a perfect life and we're perfectly following God. And there's just not a thing that needs wrong with it, that's wrong with us that needs fixing. We act like we don't even need to hear the preaching. We act like we don't even need to come and pray because we've got everything put together. Do you realize this morning that means the devil's got you exactly where he wants you to be? You see, when we come to church, when we lay our hearts at the foot of the cross, do you realize God's not looking for anything perfect? Because let me tell you something, anything that you try to give to God that tries to be perfect is going to fail because he's already had the perfect sacrifice offered up to him. Church, nothing that you do this morning, nothing that you say, no matter how much you try to dress it up, no matter how pretty of a patch that you try to put over it, no matter what you try to do, let me tell you something, nothing that you have, is, if you patch it up, is good enough to compare it to be perfect. You see, I believe that God looks for those broken hearts, Brother David. The ones that have come broken, the ones that have come willing, because let me tell you something, if you come to God and say, God, here's my life, I've got it all put together, it's perfect, it's exactly how I want it to be, he's going to say, well then, how am I supposed to change it? How am I supposed to use a life that you're telling me is already perfect, is already complete, and doesn't need changing? In other words, if you bring me your car and you got your oil changed this morning, how am I supposed to change the oil in it again? It's not going to do any good. You see, God's looking for hearts that he can make a difference in. God is looking for lives that are the hardest thing we have to do is we have to admit that our lives are not perfect. We have to admit that our hearts are broken and that we need the Lord Jesus Christ to work in them. But if we come acting like everything's fine, like we don't need our problems fixed, like we don't have any problems, why would God want to work in a life that doesn't want to be changed? Why would God want to work in a life that says they don't need him in it? Church, this morning, our patches, they're nothing but a temporary fix. They may look pretty for a minute. They may work for a minute. They may cover up that problem for a minute. You may forget all about that problem that's going on. But anybody that's ever duct taped something knows this morning that eventually that problem is going to come back up. Church, you can drown it in whatever you want to drown it in this morning, but I promise you this morning that whatever this world offers you is simply a temporary fix, and it'll leave you hopeless. Discouraged. You see, when we put a patch on and it fixes it, and we say, all right, we're good for a little while. Well, then a week later, you got to go back and you got to fix the same problem. And then a day later, you got to go back and you got to fix the same problem again. And then an hour later, you got to go back and you got to fix that same problem again. It gets discouraging. It gets hard. It gets burdensome. Your life is, you feel like all that you're doing is that you're fixing these problems, and it leaves you in a place where you're just desperate for some answers. You're just desperate for some hope. You're desperate for a fix that'll actually last. And it's in these times that we start what I say is the bargaining process. Has anybody in here ever bargained with duct tape? Is that just me? Have you ever looked at a problem on your car? Maybe the check engine light comes on and you say, you know what, if you'll just let me get to work today, I promise I'll get you fixed this weekend. Or maybe your low fuel light comes on and you say, look, I promise I'm running late for work. If you'll just let me get there, I promise I'll fix it. I promise I'll fix it. I promise if you'll just get me through another week, if you'll just get me through another day, if you'll just let me make it to wherever I'm going, I promise you I'll fix it when I get there. And then you get there and you say, well, I could probably push it just a little bit more. Well, it's still running at this point, so I need to go and I need to go do this afternoon. I'm going to go do that and I'll fix it tomorrow. Or I need to go do this week. I'll finish it this weekend. I'll fix it this weekend. Do you realize that we do the same thing with God? I wonder how many people in here that God has burdened down their hearts, that God has been convicting, that God has been speaking to you. And you say, well, Lord, if you'll just let me make it to Sunday, I promise I'll go and I'll get it fixed. Lord, if you'll just hang on to me for just a little bit longer, I promise Sunday morning I'll go and I'll get it fixed. Or you say, Lord, if you'll just take this problem from me, I promise Sunday morning I'll give my life back from you. Lord, if you'll just take care of me for one more week, I promise the next time I'm in church, I'll go and I'll get right with you. I promise, Lord, I promise. And we begin bargaining with our problems. We begin bargaining with the Lord. And then we get here Sunday morning and you've told the Lord all week, say, Lord, if you'll just let me make it there on Sunday morning, Lord, if you'll just give me one more chance, Lord, if you'll just give me one more opportunity, God, I promise I'll go. And the first thing that you do when you get here and the altar call is given is you grab a hold of the back of that pew and you do everything you can not to go. And we've promised the Lord all week, Lord, if you'll just let me get there. Lord, if you'll just let me get there. I wonder how many souls will burn in hell because they say, Lord, if you'll just give me one more chance. Lord, just give me one more chance to accept you. Lord, just give me one more opportunity. God, Lord, just give me one more. Lord, give me one more. I wonder how many people, when it comes to that judgment day, will say, Lord, just give me one more chance. God, Lord, just let me explain it to you one more time. Lord, let me show you all these good works I've done just one more time. And the Lord will say, no. No, I gave you a chance. And another chance, and another chance, and another chance. And you still chose to not fix your problems. Church, let me tell you something. Just because that duct tape, just because that patch is getting you through today doesn't mean it's going to make it through tomorrow. You see, we never know when that stuff's going to get where it's going to wear out, where it's going to turn loose, where it's going to break down. And you're going to be right back where you were when you started. And I don't understand. Church, this is one of the hardest things that I have to wrap my mind around, not only in my life, but in lives of others that I see, is why in the world do we let ourselves suffer, feel terrible, be discouraged, be hopeless? Why do we live our lives in a way that is just, we're just absolutely miserable when God is standing there the whole time offering us exactly what we need? When the Lord Jesus Christ has His nail-scarred hand stretched out to us saying, Son, if you'll just grab hold, Son, if you'll just let me take control, if you will just let me work in your life, I promise you, I have hope, I have grace, I have mercy, and I have love for you if you just let me work in your life. It's sort of like saying, well, if you're broke down on the side of the road and there's a mechanic that comes up and says, hey, I've got exactly the part that you need. I know exactly how to fix it, and I won't charge you a thing to do it. And you look at him and say, no, not today. I just don't have time for you to do it today. Or no, not today. I just don't want to do it. Or no, there might be somebody come by here and see that I have a problem, and they're going to think bad of me. It's the same way with the Lord. Jesus is constantly offering His love to us. He is constantly offering His hope to us. He is constantly pouring out His grace and His mercy, yet we choose not to let Him work in our lives. We choose the discomfort. We choose the sorrow. We choose the misery over the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the love and the glory that He has for our lives. Why? I don't know. Pride? Selfishness? I have no idea. But just as the world is constantly offering out their temporary fixes, there's a permanent fix right there, waiting. Something that'll last, something that'll take hold, something that you'll never have to worry about again. If you just take it and grab it and let God work in your life, it says that He'll take care of it for us. No longer will you have to burden. No longer will you have to worry about just how long that patch is going to make it. No longer will you have to worry just how much further your life can make it. Because you'll know that you're taken care of in the end. You say, well, preacher said, you've talked terrible about my best friend duct tape. I said, I love that stuff. Say, well, if I'm not supposed to use duct tape, what am I supposed to use this morning? Church, I'd ask this morning that you trade it in for a nail. You see, it says there in that 14th verse, it says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. In other words, it said that there was a whole list of your sins. There was a whole list of the things that you had done wrong in life. There was a whole list, even a whole book of the things that should have kept you out of heaven, the things that should have damned you to a devil's hell, that should have sent you to torment. And the Bible says, but, he said, but, It said, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against you, which was contrary to us. In other words, it was against us. It says he took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, and having spoiled the principalities and powers, he had made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. It says, in other words, he said, I didn't just duct tape your sins to the cross. I didn't just stick them up there for a little while. I didn't just give you a temporary fix to sin. I didn't just give you a temporary salvation. He says, I nailed it to the cross where they will remain there forever, where they will die with the cross, and where you will rise anew with me. Do you realize that this morning? The Lord Jesus Christ nailed your sins to the cross. He took them out of the way. He crucified them. And it is gone. It is done. You will never have to worry about them again. You see, it wasn't just a little while fix. It wasn't like you just duct taped them up there. It wasn't like you just hoped that they would hold on there until you came to that judgment day. It didn't just say that we hoped that Jesus Christ being on that cross would save our souls. It didn't say anything about that. It says that he nailed it to them, triumphing over them. He has won the victory this morning. Do we realize that? That Jesus has won the victory over death, hell, and the grave. That he's taken every problem that you'll ever face. He's taken every care that you'll ever have. He's taken all your worries and he's placed them on the cross and he has crucified them, having power over them this morning. Church, this morning, what more is there for us to be hopeful in? What more is there for us to offer other than, let me tell you something, you can take your life. And you can duct tape it all you want. You can wrap it around there 10, 20 times. You can take two or three rolls. You can wrap it all the way around there. I don't care what you do. But nothing will ever be stronger than the bond of a nail, than the love of a father that is placed between you and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There will never be anything stronger in your life. And then let me tell you this morning that when the storms of life come, and we all know that they're coming, we all know that there's times in our lives when the storms are going to rage. We all know that there's times in our lives when the devil is going to work harder than he's ever had. We know that there's all times when we're going to face problems, we're going to face trials, and we're going to face tribulations. And let me tell you something, if you've got your problems duct tape, if you've got your car duct tape and you start going down a bumpy road, you start going down a place that's going to test the limits of that duct tape, it starts bumping around, it starts rattling around, and before you know it, it's going to turn loose and you're going to end up right back in a mess where you started. But let me tell you this morning, if you've got your life, if you've got your life with Jesus, if you've got the bond of a nail, not something that's taped together, but something that is driven together. Do you realize that this morning? That just as the nails were driven through his hands and feet, just as he was driven to that cross, he has driven the love between you and I this morning, and that bond shall never be broken as long as time stands, because the power of that nail is stronger than anything that the world will ever throw at it this morning. He has driven a love between us. He has driven a salvation for me. Not only did he blot out my trespasses, not only did he take that away, but he writ my name down in the Lamb's book of life, in the blood of a risen Savior, that it would never be blotted out again, that it would never be erased, that it would never be questioned. Because it was permanent this morning. Church, this morning, I don't want anybody here to be living their life just patching things over. I don't want anyone here to be patching things together little by little, to constantly be having to fix problems when the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Creator of the universe, is here this morning. Amen. With a permanent solution that will not cost you a dime this morning. That's right. Amen. And all you have to do is reach out and grab a hold to it this morning. Yeah. Abigail, you come to the piano and you prepare that of a song of invitation. Church, let me tell you, I'll close with this. When I was studying and reading and trying to prepare myself for this message, I jumped around, couldn't seem to find the scripture that I wanted. I jumped here, jumped there, I searched here, searched there, and finally said, you know what, Lord? I said, I'm just going to start reading. I'm just going to start reading. I'm going to open this thing up. Wherever it falls open, I'm going to start reading. And wherever you want me to go, I said, just lead me. And he led me by this little piece of scripture in the book of Luke. And see, it's there in the 16th chapter of the book of Luke, and I won't read it to you, but it talks about a rich man and Lazarus, a beggar. And it talks about that one day that this rich man found himself in torment and in hell. It says, and he looked up from hell and saw Abraham walking through the heavens, and it says he had that of Lazarus with him. And he called out to Abraham. He said, Abraham, he said, if you would, he said, just let Lazarus. He said, just let him get just a little drop of water. He said, I'm not asking for a cup. He said, I'm not asking for a whole lot. He said, but if I could just get one little drop of water, he said, just to quench my tongue. He said, that's all I'm asking this morning. But the Bible goes on there, and I believe it's there, in the 26th verse. It says that Abraham talks about the mighty gulf that did span between heaven and the earth and hell. Church, let me tell you something this morning. One day, me and you are going to have to cross that mighty gulf. One of these days, me and you, we're going to have to bridge that gap between heaven and between earth and the judgment. And from there, we'll either bridge on over to heaven or we'll bridge down into hell. But let me tell you something this morning. If there's something that I'm 100% sure of this morning, it's that we are all going to face that judgment. We are all going to have to cross the bridge in our lives at one point or another that decides where we will spend eternity. Church, let me ask you this morning, do you want to be crossing on a bridge that's been patched together? It's got a little duct tape here, that's got a little duct tape there, that wobbles around when you get on it, that stretches down when you try to put the weight of your life on it. I want you to realize that this morning, whatever bridge that you choose to cross on is going to have to hold you in your life. You want to cross one that's made with duct tape, that's patched together, that's barely holding on itself? Or do you want to cross on a bridge that was built with a cross and three nails, that has a blood-stained pathway to lead you to the foot of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this morning? Church, I tell you this morning, it's no question to me what bridge I want to have to cross on. It's no question to me this morning what bridge I will cross, because what he did for me as a little boy at Harmony Baptist Church. You see, there was a bond driven together there that night that I'll forever rely on, that I will forever count on to carry me across that gulf. Church, this morning, don't be relying on duct tape to carry you across the depths of hell, where if you fall, you'll spend eternity. Stand to your feet. Y'all sing this morning. Church, he's here this morning. He's waiting for you. He's prepared a cross. He said, cast all you want upon it. He said, I don't care how heavy the burden is. He said, I don't care how big the sin is. He said, I tell you this morning, the cross will hold it. If you'll just bring it and fix it to that cross, the Bible says it'll hold it and forever be taken care of this morning. Church, don't leave here hurting. Don't leave here lost this morning. Not when there's a permanent solution waiting on you. Not when there's the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings waiting to take care of your life here this morning, if you would just come. I talked about bargaining. I wonder how many of you here told God this week, God, if you'll just let me make it there on Sunday morning, I promise I'll get it fixed. Is there anyone here that told God, if you'll just let me make it to that altar call, God, I promise you, I'll go and I'll pray. I promise, God, I promise. Church, don't go against your word to the Lord. There's a lot of places I don't want to find myself, but one of them is definitely not lying to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Church, this morning you promised him all week that you would come. He's prepared a place for you. He's prepared a time for you this morning. Don't put him off any longer. Don't ask for one more song. Don't ask for one more verse, because it might not come. You see, the Bible, it promises us a lot of things, but tomorrow is not one of them. So would you come today? Come and find yourself at the foot of a cross. Get rid of all your burdens. Get rid of all your sins. Get rid of all your hardships this morning. You sing.